And good afternoon once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is a gorgeous afternoon. Boy, it really is nice out there. Sunny skies. Temperatures have gotten beyond 40 degrees early during this afternoon. And just, again, a really nice day out there. Much better, much brighter than it was yesterday. And to find out what to expect as we get later into the week, I hear that word snow being bantied about. We're joined from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, yesterday was a bit dreary. Today it is beautiful, but it looks like it's not going to stay this way for too long, will it?
Yeah, second half of the week looking a little more active, especially as we look ahead to Thursday night and Friday. This afternoon, still quiet, plenty of sun, high temperatures in the upper 30s to near 40 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, low temperature around 21. Wednesday, cloudy, 36 for the high temperature. Thursday, cloudy with a high of 35. And then that snow arrives Thursday night and into Friday. Could be looking at upwards of 6 inches of snow from this system. Heavier totals just off to our south. Friday's high temperature around 30. Saturday, partly sunny, high of 33, and a chance for more snow Sunday, with highs again in the low 30s. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, concerning that snow coming a little bit later in the week, I've been hearing down, yeah, as you said, a little bit further south of here, more significant. Where do you expect the line to be right now?
It's going to be very, very close to us, actually. Like I said, we're kind of looking at that 6-inch total right now. You don't have to go too far south before we start talking about 8 to perhaps 12-inch totals. And again, it's far enough out yet that the computer models could yet start to bring that system further to the north. We're not entirely sure on the tracking just yet, but based on what we're seeing right now, we're thinking that heavier snow stays off to our south. But either way, likely to be a messy drive Friday morning, regardless of the actual amount of snow we get. It seems like a pretty safe bet that we'll have measurable and likely plowable snowfall.
Seems like once a week here in the last few weeks, we're getting those kind of snow events that keep us on our toes and also makes us appreciative to have you and the weatherology.com team with us. So, Ray, again, thanks for the information. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau, it continues to be a very pleasant afternoon. Temperature stands at 40 degrees under fair skies. Winds out of the southeast at 6 miles per hour. Wind chill factor of 36. Dew point is 17. Relative humidity of 40%. The barometer stands at 30.49 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. How come it's always like this, where you have a beautiful day, but then we're talking about the potential of rather significant snow in the next few days? In fact, in the last few minutes, the National Weather Service has put out a winter storm watch, not for Marathon County or actually any of the counties in our listening area. If you go right south of Marathon County, of course, you got Wood and Portage County. But if you go south then of Wood and Portage County, such as Adams County and Trempealeau County, they are part of this winter storm watch. And as we heard from Ray Miller, if the storm alters a little bit from where the computer models have it right now, if it moves up a little bit, we could be in for maybe even a little bit more snow. But the winter storm watch for south of Wood and Portage County begins Thursday evening at 6 p.m. and then goes until Friday morning at 6 a.m. And National Weather Service says in those areas, heavy snow is possible. Total snow accumulations of 5 to 8 inches with some gusty winds as well. Again, those storms with the gusty winds can make it much more difficult for travel. And again, if you have any travel plans heading south on Thursday, may want to alter it. In fact, I just saw a little while ago as well, Thursday night is a big night for high school boys basketball because of the sectional semifinals. We got a couple of games here on Bow Falls Radio. But in the southern part of the state, they're already moving game schedule for Thursday up till Wednesday. So they are looking ahead, saying, well, we may want to play on Wednesday to make sure the game gets in on Wednesday instead of postponed until Friday. So, again, we expect the games that we have not to be affected in terms of the weather, but you never know. We'll have to keep an eye on that. We do have a Marathon against Auburndale, a game that will be played in Marshfield on Thursday night. Tom Weaver will have that one live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, starting at 640. And I will have Newman Catholic against Pacelli Catholic live online at bowfallsradio.com and Sports 2 stream at 640 on Thursday night. And the game will also air on tape delay after the marathon game here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9. So we'll keep an eye on the weather, see if it affects any of those playoff basketball games in the next 48 hours as well. We will come back. We're scheduled to be joined by Tony Gonzalez, and there he is. Scheduled, and he is actually here. So we'll talk to Tony coming up in just a moment here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and also on the Civic Media app.
To make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job. Trying.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And again, Yeah, can you hear me now, Tony?
I can hear
you now. I should have. Somebody put down the volume on the headphones, but Chad Holmes with you until 4 o'clock here each and every weekday on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, very happy to welcome back into studio Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Organization. Had you on a number of times before, but it's been a while. It's good to see you again.
It is good to be here again in this wonderful, beautiful day, but I hear a storm is coming.
It always is. It always is. But you're right. It is a beautiful day here in central Wisconsin, and I'm glad you called yesterday. Actually, you called right in our news break during the middle of the program. Perfect timing, as always. And you talked a bit about you had an event on Saturday. And I think for folks who tune in all day, and I hope everybody's tuning in all day, heard you earlier this morning on Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, and I've hopefully heard my segment as well. But on Saturday, you went to Abbotsford for a public meeting, and you were able to... And again, I'll pat you on the back, able to use your connections to get some elected officials there to talk about an issue that's been around for a few years, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. This has been going on, well, probably since the moment that they stopped giving driver's licenses here in Wisconsin because of the Real ID Act. Right. And here we are, 2023, almost 17 years later, and nothing has been done. And, it's time to address it. It's time to do something positive about it. It's time to stop playing political games behind it and look at the reality of things. And, and above it all, we have to take it from the point of safety right now. You know, there's so many people on the roads right now. And we need to make sure that our legislators, the people that we elect, are taking care of us when we get out of a house, go on the roads, and that they're safe roads. You know, this is a lot of people may think that, this is not a way to reward people with an illegality because they came into the country legally. Well, that is something that the federal government needs to be doing, that we need to force the federal government to be doing. But in the meantime, here in Wisconsin, we need to make sure that our legislators are taking care of us, because like I said, once they're elected, they are not just elected to take care of the people that voted for them. They are our legislators belong to all of us, and they should take care of all of us.
And I should emphasize, I probably didn't introduce it properly, but the meeting on Saturday was about a driver's license for undocumented workers, and there are plenty of undocumented workers, not just here, but throughout the country. And take a step back, what was the meeting like? Who was there, number one?
It was a very good meeting, and, you know, I want to preface this, you know, that there was no commitment about, you know, that this is going to happen or not. The commitment was the first step, which was to sit there and listen. And that was very important, and I really appreciated those legislators that we had there. Senator Jesse James was there. We had Donna Rosar, my legislator right here, Pat Snyder, and Calvin Callahan. They came to listen, as well as we had a couple sheriffs also that came to listen, because, you know, I thought it was very important to open the avenues of communication first. And, you know, if we look the way that communication works, one talks, the other one listens. And we're not doing that. We're poking at each other constantly, going into the narratives. This time I give much credit to those that came, that they were very, very willing to listen. In all fairness, our job was to give them the tools to help them help our communities to make sure that we do something that is effective. So that was the whole thing. There was some input, of course, but most of everything, we were giving them numbers, and we were informing of things that they actually, we found out they were not aware of certain things, and, you know, that's fine. This is why we engage in these communications, so that we can all feed from each other and work as a community.
Talking to Tony Gonzalez here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, when you say that, even state legislators, and I think it's even easier outside in the normal community, we get caught in our own bubbles. We do get caught in our bubbles where we talk to people that have maybe similar experiences, and they may not have heard a lot of what you're saying on Saturday, and that is one of the great aspects for them to come and listen. You said they were listening. Who was talking besides yourself?
Well, you know, actually, the meeting kind of was done. The format was the following. You know, we had the legislators there listening, and we have members from the community come. And I knew a number of them, 10 of them in particular, that were going to talk. And the meeting was specifically done to for a pro-license idea. Okay. So, you know, I purposely invited people that were going to be in favor of this. If there's people that oppose it, hey, they're just as free to make their own meeting. Okay.
I'm guessing, though, those legislators, they're all Republicans.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they heard from the other side. And that's why it was probably really good, because, as you said, I mean, sometimes within their bubble, they probably, because we've heard a lot of, I would call, the bumper sticker slogans.
Yes.
That have come when it comes to this issue. The opportunity to hear about how, as you said, safety aspect, the people that are working to do important things around here, the aspects that they haven't heard about, which is, and again, I give you a great deal of credit, because I said this before it went on the air. I mean, the way that you're able to communicate with folks across, maybe different, you may have a different perspective on a certain issue, but yet you have this real touch, it seems, to get them to come and listen. And I imagine that's, well, and you've said this in the past, where you're willing to work with everybody in order to make things better.
Absolutely. We have to at this point. You know, I mean, we have just been deaf and blind to what others say. We are so centered in what we believe, or either side believes. We're wrapped up on this narratives from each side that we actually start to believe this kind of stuff like it's the reality, you know, and it's not. We got to look outside of it. We have to invite people, you know, and we cannot just be talking to the people that are nodding their head yes all the time at us, because then we're not doing a thing. We need to go to those people that perhaps have their doubts, they oppose it for some reason, and kind of challenge and talk together and see what is their concerns. And, you know, that's exactly what we were addressing. You know, there's concerns, for example, that people with a license or a driver's card are going to get out there and vote. So we made clear that, and we have actual numbers from Kids Forward and all that that show that voter fraud because somebody has an ID card is almost non-existent. You know, you would have to do it at such volumes to make any difference that you would notice it in a town like Abbotsford, you know, where you got 1,200 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're there to give those reassurances. We're there to think of ideas, what makes it better. You know, I've always said, if it takes to make that driver's license a round driver's license or a sticker in your car that says, I can drive and I have insurance, we'll go with it. And you know, again, also, I was very fortunate this year, last year actually, for the November election, to be an observer for the voting polls, and I went to each one of the ones here that we have in Wausau, you know, if somebody out there gets there and votes with an ID that is not the right ID, your driver's license, we have problems then with the people that are managing the voting polls because they're supposed to know. And first of all, a person has to register. And to register, you got to bring that correct form of ID. So, you know, this is really, they're giving too much credit to people if they think that they get a driver's license and all of a sudden everybody in mass is going to go and vote. And also, the assumption that the people that are going to be receiving this license are one particular political persuasion rather than the other is also mistaken.
And another aspect of this, it's been done in other states. There are states, in fact, neighbors to our state here in Wisconsin have done it. So I imagine you have information on how that's worked in other places, correct?
Absolutely. We're going through all that, trying to get the points of how they made it happen. The newest state is our neighbor to the west, Minnesota. So, you know, actually, and we got Minnesota, we got in Illinois, and I believe in Michigan, it's also happening. So, you know, if we're not careful, the last drive that are undocumented or illegal, whatever term you want to use, it doesn't matter. They just want a document. Are going to do is drive to our neighboring states, and we will continue to lose workforce in Wisconsin.
Has there been any issue in other states that would cause concern?
Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, they have seen a great reduction in hit and runs and also, you know, insurance premiums have been lowered. It's been very positive, and the economies are thriving. You know, it's interesting. I cannot remember her name right now. We had one of the ladies that came to testify, to give her opinion, and she is with economic development and tourism in the Abbotsford area, and she was telling us about before 2007 how the area was thriving. There was new businesses, there was partnerships, there was all this going really good. Then came 2007, and she said, "Bring us back to 2007, please."
And you mentioned the insurance aspect. I imagine that for those who are the documented people, the citizens of any community, you don't want to be involved in a auto accident with somebody that does not have insurance because they're not able to get any kind of driver's licenses. I mean, it actually hurts everybody, the policy, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you make policy, no policy is perfect and going to cover everything, okay? So one of the premises of law and everything is for the greater good. So the greater good right here really is that the majority of the community is out there on the roads with insurance and having passed the test that gives them a license. You know, if you have a number of undocumented, you know, which is like 32,000 residents in this state that are driving on our roads without insurance, without really any knowledge from us that they know how to drive.
Right.
But altogether, it doesn't compare to the number of people that are not in a normal status here in the country, but they're on the roads and they're protecting a larger number, which is the rest of the community, to be able to make it home, make sure that your kids get home safe. We want to make sure that accidents are taken care of. So that is the greater good, is that we're going to be secure in our roads. And again, if they don't get the document It doesn't stop them from work, from driving. They're going to be there.
Something we got to go a little bit deeper after we take a quick timeout. We have a news update coming up here in just a moment, but then we'll come back, talk more with Tony Gonzalez again about this issue and anything else that pops into his mind, because I know he's always got his finger in a lot of pies from all over the place. But we're talking again about the issue of a driver's license for undocumented workers and the meeting he had in Abbotsford on Saturday. More to come. Chad Holmes with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. The time is 3:33. Joined again by Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Organization, and so many other aspects of his life of service. Talking basically about, again, a community meeting that was held on Saturday in Abbotsford, where Tony was able to get four state legislators to come and listen to the community in the issue of driver's licenses for undocumented workers. And something as well, and I thought, again, listening to you as during the segment with Pat Kreitlow earlier this morning, one statement that came out was, if you were magically able to get all of the undocumented workers out of Wisconsin, what would happen?
The cows will die. Okay, we... there's no doubt. Everybody knows, and the numbers clearly show that now nearly 80% of the workers in dairy farms are immigrants, and many of them undocumented immigrants. So, if magically, you know, don't go to a hotel, there'll be no housekeeping anymore. Don't go to restaurants. You would have no cooks. Don't go anywhere, because that's what's going to happen. So it's kind of an unreal thing when people say, you know, we just need to send them all back. If you do that, it's over. Our economy is going to drop.
You think we have trouble getting workers now?
Oh, it, you know.
Which is a major issue right now.
Yes, yes. And, you know, like I said, I had a, I remember years ago I was up in the Glen Flora, Bruce area, and I was talking to a farmer, and he says to me, you know, say, you know what? Sometimes I'm so tired of how hard things are that I wish that, yeah, they would come and take them all, because next day I will declare bankruptcy. Those were his words. And it's true. That's the situation. People, they're doing jobs that most of us would not want to do.
It's one of the interesting aspects when we talk about an issue such as this. This is one part of it. Driver's licenses.
Yes.
But it's part of a bigger issue. I mean, and for you who spend so much time of your life working on issues such as this, when you look at yourself working so hard on this little issue, when you know there's so much more to it, how do you try to put it all together? Is it truly one step at a time, or do you feel like, man, we should be able to take more of a comprehensive view? How do you look at these different different issues that you're having to deal with on an individual basis, as opposed to what you call a big picture solution to immigration and all the issues that kind of trickle down from that?
Well, to tell you the truth, my approach has been from the beginning, taking care of my backyard first. Because if we wait for Washington to do something, you know, remember what President Reagan said, the scariest words is, just wait, government's here to help. That is very scary. So,
they help. Oh, let's not go. That was a political slogan, Tony. Okay, come on.
they do help, you know, but, yeah. But I think we've gotten to a point right now as we're talking this partisanship, even when somebody wants to do the right thing from whatever party, the other one's going to go against it just to go against it, you know?
And even when you get close, it feels like somebody always pulling that string.
Right, just
pulled it apart.
I really do believe that, you know, like I said, my approach is it starts here at home, and then we can make it grow, and it becomes an example and then more counties in the state will adopt, and then our state, and so forth. Really, I believe that the issue of immigration can, you know, we know for a fact that state legislators cannot do anything about it. Mm-hmm. The only thing they can do about it is pressure the federal government by saying, you know what, you haven't done anything. We need to make our state thrive. We need the workers. So this is what we're going to do until you do something that is worth anything. So, yeah, my approach has just been that. And really, to reestablish the communication.
Right.
We have to talk to each other. We have to understand that, you know, each of us has different political persuasions, and that's okay. But at the end, the important thing is the welfare of the American citizen and those that live under this big sky, everybody.
And something we were discussing during the news break about another aspect of the driver's licenses that would just help in so many ways is having the record of everybody. Because if you are trying to maybe solve a crime, it certainly helps to have records of people, doesn't it? I mean, that's just one aspect of it. I mean, there's a lot of levels to that as well, isn't there?
Law enforcement so far, and those that I've talked, are very much in favor of that. They want to know who they're dealing with when there's a traffic stop. They want to know when somebody, there's a fatality in an accident. They need to know who to contact, who to call, something, you know. And overall, you know, identification, all of us want to know who is around us, you know. So this started, you know, the beginnings of this had to do with 9/11. And then came the Real ID Act and the big fear of that we don't know who's around us or anything like that. So that's why we wanted to secure with an ID card, with a social security, with a birth certificate. And, you know, like I said, 17 years later, we're doing the exact opposite. Instead of working on identifying people that are around us, we are holding it up because of what's going on the border. What's going on in the border is a total different issue of what is happening here. You know, yes, it has to do with people being here on a less than desirable status. They don't want to be there. But after all, they're not going to just disappear like we just said. They're not going to stop from driving because they, you know what, we have to also understand, even just the driver's license issue is 17 years old. So by now, little baby that was just born 17 years ago, he is a United States-born citizen that has to get around. He's 18 years old. His parents are not just going to go. He needs to make it to school safely, make it to work safely. So that's the whole thing we got to think. You know, people, and there's many of, you know, even a driver's license does not give a person a status in the country. It doesn't make you a citizen. It does nothing of that. But one thing it does do for us is, and for them, is start a process of knowing who they are, how long they've been in the country, and if they have committed crimes or not, because that's going to be an identifiable way to keep them and eventually create a path for perhaps if they want to become a citizen, showing that they got a clean record.
Maybe this is a silly question, but you know, in my mind, this popped in. Let's, for argument's sake, say that something is passed where you can get a driver's license for undocumented workers. Are the undocumented workers people that want to have these identification cards as well? I mean, in your discussions with them, is this something that would be difficult to get them all, to get all the cards, to have them? Because I imagine there's a fear as well for them as well, along that line, from that perspective.
Absolutely. That's a very good question, Chad, because that was something that came up saying, well, as soon as this gets done, our DMV, Department of Transportation, is going to be flooded. No, it's not going to be flooded. And the answer to that is just look at the 2020 census. So much fear was built into undocumented people that they're still not coming out of where they're at. Many also just remain on their farms, you know. But no, it's going to be a campaign of education. It has to be a campaign also that if it does happen and the availability is there, that those that choose not to go get a driver's license, perhaps they need to be prompted a little more, because given the opportunity, they should step forward. And there's going to, they should, you know, there's many provisions on the states that have adopted a driver's license, 18 of them, right? 19 now with Minnesota, actually, that assure that their identification, their IDs, or the locations are not going to be given to immigration, okay? And that's only a fair way to do this. And that's I forgot the acronym right now, but there's a Driver Identification Protection Act that will protect that kind of stuff. Protects you, protects me, protects all of us. This certain information only belongs in certain places.
Again, we're talking to Tony Gonzalez here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. When you set up this meeting on Saturday with the state legislators, I imagine you had hopes of what you had accomplished. Were you able to get what you wanted out of this meeting? And at the end of the meeting, what was the response you got from the state legislators that came for this meeting?
They were very eager to get more information and really get real numbers on this. Like I said, one of the bigger surprises for some was to know that before 2007, the state of Wisconsin was given driver's licenses to whoever went and passed the test and paid their fees. So yeah, definitely you could see their interest in learning more. You could see their interest in bringing this to their different caucuses and fellow legislators to see if something is viable, if something could be done. And, you know, here you mentioned something, you know, sometimes they do this so it doesn't become a victory to the opposing party. I would always say about this matter, this is not a Republican or a Democratic trophy to be have a winner. This is a win for the state of Wisconsin, because we need the workers, we need the safety. This is something that if they do in a bipartisan fashion, which it should be, will bring a lot of good results for our great state.
What do you hope happens from this point? Because obviously this is a process. Every tough issue is a process. And something you said again during the break is one of the things that you did here is this is one of the great ways to get legislation through, is because I think there's a lot of different ways that people try to go about it. But the most effective way is public support from the bottom up, isn't it? And
yes.
How do you take what the folks heard on Saturday and take it to the next step?
Well, it was, you know, what you mentioned was very true, and I was very happy to hear, in particular, Senator James. He addressed the crowd, and he said, this is exactly the way that you need to do things. Getting together, talking about it, not fighting over it, bringing it to your legislators, involving your local authorities so that the voice of the people is heard. Oftentimes people vote and forget it. It's easier to curse what they're doing or not even care what they're doing. So, you know, what happens is that they just do whatever the leadership tells them to do. But if their constituency is out there telling them, this is what we like, this is what we need, then things will be a little bit different, because otherwise that person will not get reelected. Simple as that. So, you know, we need more awareness in the community. People need to get more involved in whatever issue it is that we're trying to address, and bring the pros and the cons and do it in a civil discourse. I mentioned one thing, you know, in past years we have had, or other groups have had, marches around the Capitol demanding licenses, and that was all misplaced, you know, because number one, nobody can say this is my right, because it's nobody's right. It's a privilege for each one of us to be able to do this. And the other thing is that they just simply can't just give a license just without the proper procedure of getting IDs and everything. And when you got 20,000 people, 15,000 marching, of those that few of them are voters, you're not going to get anything done. So we were able to really show their people from their base, people from their political persuasion. The interesting thing about this meeting, Chad, is the only brown faces in the place were Alejandro and I. I wanted to really show that people here from their own party and everything are supporting this. The very mayor of the city of Abbotsford, who knows better than anybody, knows that city would not exist if the immigrants weren't there working at different places, such as Abbeyland. And so,
want to spend a few more minutes? I got one more segment. I was planning on ending here. Want to stick around and talk about anything else?
I'll stick around.
Why not? It's always good to pick your brain. We'll talk a few more minutes with Tony Gonzalez coming up next as we continue here on this Tuesday afternoon. The time is 3:47. Again, stick around after 4. From 4 till 6, it's the Devil's Advocates. Keep it right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. The New McCaffick High School boys basketball team is just 2 games away from a trip to the state tournament. On Thursday night, the Cardinals take on Pacelli Catholic in a Division V sectional semifinal played at Wausau West. Hear the game live online only at bullfallsradio.com and clicking on the Sports 2 stream. Again, bullfallsradio.com, clicking on Sports 2 stream, starting with pregame show at 6:40. The game can also be heard on a tape delay basis following the marathon game on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. New McCaffick High School basketball on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic taking on Pacelli Catholic in a boys basketball Division V sectional semifinal. Thursday night, live online at bullfallsradio.com and the Sports 2 stream starting at 6:40 and also on tape delay following the marathon broadcast on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. At home show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, great to have in studio here today, Tony Gonzalez, Hispanic leader here in central Wisconsin, throughout Wisconsin. Tony, let's move on beyond that one issue as I fortunately did not have my... Fortunately, I did not spill my water because boss would not have been very happy about that.
I spilled all my coffee on my desk today, so that's okay.
What else are you working on right now? Is any issues out there that you're kind of keeping an eye on? Because it's obviously, right now, there's a lot going on. Of course, it's budget time, and we were just mentioning off the air, talking about the next step with the driver's licenses, whether or not they could be a budget item or not. But what else are you keeping an eye on right now?
Well, number one, you know, I'm continuing to grow the American Hispanic Association. You know, put it out more on the public eye and the Hispanic community to know that there's a resource and promote. And I'll say, I always mention, and this cannot be the exception, you know, that above it all, we're talking about human beings. Yeah. And those are words from Pastor Jeff Todd. But also, they have done a wonderful job with Community Partners Campus and the free clinic right there. So, you know, we're trying to promote this through AHA also. And also in partnership also with health departments and everything, all the vaccinations that are necessary and bring them as close to people as we can. Also, another subject that's going on, and it's a pretty hot topic, is realignment of schools.
I was wondering
right
if I'm going to ask you about that because I know that you've been.
Yes.
Were you part of one of the committees or was it on the periphery?
I was part of the elementary school subcommittee.
Okay. Yep. I was.
And you know, there was so many compelling things that people were saying, but you know, this is no different than the meeting that we had on Saturday. The schools did provide. In a pretty adequate way for people to participate with their opinions. And nothing was happening till it came to one meeting and all of a sudden a lot of people did come out, you know. So, you know, I can't judge whether it was enough or not to people. From my perspective, I know that they had done a lot of communication from some parents. They said they never knew. Mm-hmm. But we need to be aware of this. But it was very interesting because people did come out and for and against, and talked about, you know, that they didn't want it, some that it's okay, you know, but there was information that came out there that, like, in particular, I would say one that really caught my ears was that somebody said, you know, with our new communities that are coming into Wausau. There was an estimate of 70-plus students being added to the school from the Afghan and the community coming with the ECDC. And I thought to myself, you know, well, that's something that we can measure because we know they're coming here as refugees and we got their number. How about the Hispanics that are coming here undocumented and having children, or the children are here and everything, that we cannot measure that? Are we probably underestimating the numbers and everything like that? But all this is being taken into account, and I think that eventually if the community get involved and we see the pros and all the numbers and everything, we should be able to come to a good resolution.
That's one of the fearful aspects, because I think I agree with so much of what you just said there, but the only thing that is scary is you don't want to have it to be a split, because when you're talking about schools and other important issues within community, when you have a split, it just makes it difficult in other areas as well.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of the scary aspect, at least from my point of view.
Right, these kids that graduate are our future in this area. I mean, we always talking about retaining young talent.
Yeah.
And bringing young talent. So if there's an area that doesn't have enough schools or anything, I guess that's not one place where young talent wants to come. So, yeah, it's a very delicate balance to do there. But that's why it's so important to come and bring ideas and come and make people aware of things that we can't all think of anything. So it is so much better when we open that discourse and open our ears and open our eyes and keep our mouths probably a little bit close, a little bit better, so that we are actually listening, doing effective listening, and then really, instead of bringing complaints, bring solutions to the table. Mm-hmm.
This may be an odd question, but you talk a lot about, you know, listening and learning by listening. What's something that recently in a discussion you thought, hey, I learned something there, I didn't know that? Something interesting that in your listening where... Because you're saying it's so important to be able to be a good listener, to find out more information, to be more effective in anything you do. What's an example of something that you've learned recently that may have surprised you that you could share with us?
Well, yeah, I think at the school meetings, precisely just what I was saying, you know, the number of people that are coming that were not here a few years back when the initial studies and the referendums were done, I think that was something very... And, you know... I would say that there was something very, very compelling that a lady said in one of those meetings, and it was that, you know, it deals with mental health. She said her kid was in ninth grade. The last 2 years were COVID years where they did schooling remotely and everything. Mm-hmm. He had always hoped to be either a lumberjack or a...
Warrior.
I can't remember which one of the two it was.
Right.
And all of a sudden... his world's going to turn also, you know, and that has great impact. I know that as a young student back in Columbia going to school, my school mattered. Mm-hmm. The people that went to school mattered. That is your circle. That is your world. So, you know, that had a lot of impact. And, you know, I didn't think of that. I didn't think, you know, we just went through COVID and a lot of isolation, and all of a sudden, something else is ahead of you, and you know that is not the best experience you can have as a student.
And again, American Hispanic Association, what's the best way to find out more information about yeah,
so we got our phone. It's 715-903-6427. Please call us. I'll try to get back to everybody as soon as possible. I am working on getting some staff, getting a more settled place where we can start responding. You know, right now, working out of the house has been good enough. Pretty soon we want to have a place that we can take care of people and work with other organizations. Like, I do a lot of work with the ECDC. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And you were talking about projects right now, and I will tell you right now one that's coming up.
Real quick.
In June, we're going to have the World Cultures Day, June 17th. Uh-huh. So please be ready. We are going to have a showcase of many, many, many different cultures.
Tony, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Stick around here on Bullfall.